The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the Preds and Oilers coming up tonight. As we do every Monday at 9 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Max Herz here on the program, who handles the pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. You can also catch him on the play-by-play as well. Max, good morning. How are we doing?
Morning, boys. Good to talk to you, and happy to be back at Bridgestone in, about an hour for morning skate.
Yep, looking forward to that. So, Max, obviously, results not going great for the hockey team as of late. They've lost six in a row, albeit a few of those in overtime, and offensively, it's just been a struggle really all year, but especially lately, they can't get much goal scoring going on right now. Just what are you seeing? What are you maybe not seeing out there with the Predators that's led to the struggle that it's been offensively?
Yeah, you guys were just talking about it, and I think, Robbie, you made all the right points, or maybe it was Joe. It was both of you.
Oh, it wasn't me.
All right, it wasn't you, Joe. The last three games that Saros has played, so the three road games last week, again, not including that Edmonton game at home, the 1-0 overtime loss in St. Louis, the 2-1 overtime loss in Winnipeg, and the 3-1 loss in Denver with an empty netter, they have given up 1 5-on-5 goal in almost 190 minutes of hockey, which is really, really good defensively. But they have not been able to post any goal numbers whatsoever. They've got 2 goals for in those games, and they've got 2 overtime loss points to show for it. So the offense is just not there right now, and it's the same as it's been for most of the season, where they're not getting what they need from their biggest forwards. And the biggest issue really over this stretch, over the 6-game losing streak, they haven't been taking the shots that they've been given. They've been passing out of the slot. They've been passing out of 2-on-1s. They haven't been getting shots on odd man rushes. They've been overthinking things, which is something obviously that can happen when you're on a long losing streak. But they're a goal or two away from this feeling like a really different week right now because of how good they played defensively. And the only 5-on-5 goal they gave up in those 3 road losses was off a really bad D-zone giveaway, and that was it. Other than that, the goals they gave up were 2 and 3-on-3 overtime, 1 on the power play against the Avalanche, and 1 and 4-on-4 against the Jets.
Well, I think that's a good diagnosis, Max, and yes, that was Robbie's point, by the way. So
thank you.
It's usually
good point,
safe
Joe.
To assume. Yes, yes. I can point out that Robbie made a good point at least. but another thing, and I think that's interesting thought, and I'm with you. I mean, you press. I think that's what we're seeing on the power play to some extent, right? It's just like overthinking things, and they're just stagnant and just really discombobulated. What about just the inability to establish a forecheck? You know, last year, that's one thing. Well, certainly with the Herd line, like, you knew they were going to be hell on opposing defensemen, and they were going to get pucks deep and, you know, and be a problem for the opponent. And I just don't see any of that, or not nearly enough of that, from any line right now. Why is that?
Yeah, It's interesting to think about, especially because the lines have changed so much. And I think a lot of the reason that John Hines and Dan Hynote, who calls the forward group, have changed the lines as much as they have is to mix and match the capable forecheckers this season, or maybe I'll even say the willing forecheckers this season, with the guys who they want to benefit from the possession that the good forecheck creates. So that's why we've seen trios like Cole Smith with Ryan Johansson and Nino Niederreiter, because Cole Smith is going in and banging and doing what he needs to do to win the puck, because he's battling for his NHL life, and he's played in every NHL game this season, and he doesn't want that to change. So he's been one of the Preds' better physical guys on the forecheck, and that's why they tried to match guys like Smith up with guys like Johansson and Niederreiter, who they want to have the puck more in the offensive zone. But talking about the Hurd line specifically, Tanner Janot said it to our intrepid reporter Hal Gill in our pregame interview on Saturday. When they go on the forecheck, they're having too many ones and duns. And it doesn't necessarily mean one shot and done, although it can mean one shot and done. It's kind of one chance at the puck and done. And I think a lot of it is timing with their dump-ins, timing with changes, and a lot of times also just not getting the puck deep to even start the forecheck, which has hurt them a lot, especially in second periods with the long change, with guys getting caught on the ice and some line changes getting messy and just things like that, where especially defensemen can get caught on the ice for longer than 2 minutes. And it's all the problems in the neutral zone that lead to problems or lack of the ability to get to the O zone that end up killing you in the D zone. And sometimes Saros has continued to bail them out because he's been so great recently still, even through losses and overtime losses. But it's how play in every zone affects the other. And if you want to be in the offensive zone more, you need to get the puck there first. You need to lock it in deep on the forecheck.
So is this also, Max, a case to be made for not changing the lines this much?
I don't know. I really don't know. And they've been consistent the last couple games. On Saturday, they flipped Ryan Johansson to the top line and put Granlund with Jankowski and Smith. And Granlund had not been very offensive the last two games. The last three games before that, he'd only had one shot on goal, but I thought he was good on Saturday. So it seems like when they have moved the lines around, the guys who those changes have affected the most have played well in those games. At least the guys who are supposed to get the message have gotten the message. I don't know how much messaging is too much messaging, and I don't think there's really a way for us to know that as outsiders in media. But I think the majority of the line changes, both going into games and within games, has led to something good, at least in smaller doses. But the problem is, if there's so much that needs to be changed and you're doing it as much as they've had to, it's really just too much for any team to have to do, regardless of who's moving around.
Max Herr is with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Max, you know, obviously things are not going well for the Predators right now results-wise. And then there's Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl coming in tonight, who the Predators have had zero answer for defensively. So as you watch these matchups lately between the Predators and the Oilers, what in the world can they do to at least somewhat limit McDavid and Draisaitl? We know those two guys are obviously maybe the two best players in the world, and they're going to put up their numbers. But it's been a little absurd what they've been able to do against the Predators. How do you go about trying to limit them tonight?
Yeah, I'm curious if they do anything really different with their D-zone coverage. I thought Thursday night in Winnipeg, the Preds did a good job, especially on Mark Scheifele. And Dante Fabbro had a lot of that responsibility. And he followed him around quite a bit in the D-zone. So we'll see if anything like that happens. I mean, at what point are you selling out too much on one person? But also on the other side, if there was ever anyone or any two someones to totally sell out against, it's the guys who have done against you what they've done the last two, three, four, five seasons, like McDavid and Leon have. So It's always interesting to see. They sent McEwen and Gravel both back to the minors yesterday morning before the team returned from Denver. So I imagine that means that either Carrier or McDonough will be back. I have no idea which one of the two it will be, but that at least means that they'll be closer to full strength on defense after Jeremy Lozon got back on Saturday and I thought played a good physical game against the Avs. So we'll see what it looks like. And it's so funny that we always say you got to stay out of the box. And well, the Preds were in the box for a minute and a half last time they played the Oilers and they got two goals. So no matter how few penalties you take, you know they're going to get some great chances there. It's about what you do at even strength against them.
Max, how long have you been around this franchise? Not in this role. I'm saying just in general, in the city.
So I've been in Nashville for 9.5 years, but that includes time in college and other stuff in and out where I was covering different teams.
Back when Vanderbilt basketball went to the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, buddy.
Yes. I almost went to that game, actually. I really should have. The Matthew Fisher Davis game.
Oh, wow. Bringing back the hits. Okay. The negativity around the Predators right now compared to anything else you've seen since you've been around it in whatever role, how would you compare it?
I'm actually going to go back to before I lived here, which was the first time that I came here, I guess as a senior in high school from out of town to visit Vandy. And we went to a game. It was Preds versus Flames. This would be, I'm trying to think what month it would have been, maybe March 2013. It was Barry Trotz's second to last year, and the arena was empty. I don't think we're anywhere near there. And, again, I don't have the full swath of that. Joe, I know that was before you lived here too. But I think all the pieces are still there from a team that was really, really good last year. And I don't know. I don't think it's worth talking about yet, honestly. I don't think we're there yet.
Max Hurst, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. Max, thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you next week. Have fun tonight back at Bridgestone Arena.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you at the rink if you will be there. If not, have a great holiday, and I'll see you guys at Bridgestone sometime soon.
Thanks, Max. Appreciate you. Max Hurst, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, looking ahead to the Preds and the Oilers coming up tonight. By the way, Kevin, who got mad at us on the text line. And
Kevin was texting a lot of stuff.
Yeah, the person who said that apparently the ownership group said if they lost every game the next 10 years, he wouldn't fire Poile. We asked to produce quotes and then produce quotes that say nothing about that, is now mad at us for not being sports guys and paying attention to what's going on.
Yeah, somebody yell at Max. Oh, it's worth talking about, Max. Oh, it's worth talking about, buddy. Yeah. And I'll yell at Kevin now. Yeah, look, I know exactly the quote you're talking about. I was right there. And it was definitely a quote that was to the effect of, well, he knows hockey. We don't know hockey. You know, and he's basically untouchable. So there's truth in it. But, yeah, he certainly – like what you said, Kevin, up front, 10 years and nothing, you know, no matter what happens, that's – you know, you're exaggerating. You're exaggerating. You're also misspelling a lot of words, Kevin. I'm just saying.
615-737-1025.
Hickey.
Coming up next, we'll be
with you, Kevin.
We'll get back into the Titans and the Chargers. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We've got some tickets to give away. A 4-pack of tickets to see Enchant Nashville at First Horizon Park. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a 4-pack of tickets to see Enchant Nashville at First Horizon Park, which runs now through December the 30th, 615-737-1025. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and the Chargers. Joe, the Titans have lost 4 in a row. The Jags win yesterday. And now all of a sudden things have got pretty interesting in the AFC South. There is a very good chance that final game in Jacksonville could be for the division now. what do you make of what has transpired in this division, and what kind of a chance are you giving the Jags at this point, even at 6-8, to win this division outright and for the Titans to miss the playoffs altogether? A conversation 3 weeks ago was, quite frankly, laughable, both in the way that we discussed it and also the statistical chances as well. At one point a few weeks ago, Titans had a 98% chance to win their division. 98. I think it was ESPN FBI that put that out there. It's pretty incredible.
I mean, to be fair, some of those FBI, sometimes it's like in-game, it's like 99.99%, and then they lose.
That is true.
I'd love to know what the percentage was for the Patriots yesterday.
I would, too.
Before they completely fell apart. I still think the Titans have the edge. It is a slight edge. It was a big deal yesterday that, no surprise, I don't think to anybody, that the Titans lost to the Chargers given the state of their team right now and how they're playing. Pretty big surprise that the Jags beat the Cowboys. But they both have the Texans. Let's give them both wins. The Titans have the Cowboys at home. The Jags have the Jets on the road. The thing about those two games is that they're the next two Thursday night games. And the Thursday night game does favor the home team. Remember, the Titans last year got a huge one against the Niners on Thursday night, by the way, that helped them get the one seed. A.J. Brown had a fair amount to do with that.
He sure did.
But that was an example of, you know, beating a really good team. They beat a lot of really good teams last year. The Jets are still in the playoff picture. They're reeling. They lost to the miserable, awful joke of a fraud Lions yesterday. But the Jets, you know, they're home Thursday. I mean, that's a huge game. Look, I think even if it comes down to it, if the Titans have a lot of players back, so hard to count on that now. But if they do, I would favor them. I think they'd have a good chance. I'd pick them probably to go win in Jacksonville. I know people right now are like, I mean, there's probably a fair amount of Titans fans right now are like, no, lose. Don't make the playoffs. Get a better draft pick. Blow it up. All that. There's a lot of blow it up talk in Nashville right now. But I would not give up on this team yet. Look, here's the thing. There's not much longer of like Derrick Henry, Tannehill, all these things. I don't know how much longer. There could be an entire season after this, and maybe not. But to me, if you're a Titans fan, I think you should root for the Titans to get in shots on Jacksonville while they can, because the long-term future right now very much favors Jacksonville.
Well, I think he does, too. And Trevor Lawrence is playing really well right now. And he was really good yesterday. I know he did throw the interception. And like you said, he had the fumble at the end of the game that you thought was ultimately going to lose the game for the Jags. But, I mean, he made plays left and right in that game yesterday. And he's playing at a really high level. The numbers bear that out right now. And they've got a lot of confidence. And it is kind of amazing in sports sometimes to watch. Once you see a team get rolling, like they've gotten rolling lately, I mean, in all seriousness, jokes aside, I put the Lions in this category too. Like, they've gotten rolling, and all of a sudden the confidence starts to come with that. You know, it's the Jags, so I'm totally not going to discount the possibility that they go on Thursday Night Football and totally lay an egg against the New York Jets, and maybe we're having a different conversation this time a week from now. But right now, they're playing really well. They're riding high, and I think there's a great chance that final game could end up being for the division. Now, I agree with you. If the Titans get healthier by then, I think they have a chance to win that game and to win the division and to get into the playoffs. But it's pretty amazing that we're having this conversation based on what this picture looked like even a couple of weeks ago before the Jags game. Like, if you just win that Jags game, how much different of a conversation are we having right now? It's like win against Houston and you're in there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You win that game, and again, it's like it's 4 weeks of trying to get healthy for the playoffs. Instead, they're probably going to have to push it all the way to the end. Now, some of the guys that I thought maybe would be pushed, you know, to come back this week didn't come back. I think we're going to see Autry, Burks, Hooker, maybe Fulton. But I think the first three right now, barring setbacks, and hey, we know setbacks happen with this team.
Yeah, we do.
But just add those three to this week. Add those three to the team this week. And then, again, I don't know with David Long. Obviously, he's IR. Is he the return on IR? I don't know. But those three alone, and if you made it four, those are very important players. They could be a pretty significantly better team on paper going into this game. And if you get one win, then you just feel different. It's so different win-loss, obviously, they need to stop the bleeding. You know, lose this week, and then we'll start talking draft picks.
Josh on the text line says, whoever is saying blow it up are complete freaking idiots. Like, nobody wants to go back to those years of 2-15. This is from Josh on the text line.
See, I love the argument. I love the discussion. There's a lot of people, Josh, who would yell right back at you right now, and probably will yell right back at you right now, because, again, this is the difference, NFL, NHL, which we talk about all the time, but sometimes you do have to. I mean, the Jags, it was miserable, but they feel pretty good about their number one overall pick quarterback right now, don't they?
They do.
Who had a year basically robbed from them by, you know,
the most incompetent
guy who
head
likes
football
to
coach
slap
in NFL
kickers
history.
Around. So they would tell you, yeah, this is okay. The Texans may feel better about things once they get Bryce Young, you know?
Easy. Don't count my guy Davis Mills out just yet.
Well, that's yes. I mean, I guess it's not too much of a stretch to think that he could quarterback a couple more games.
At least be a good mentor.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. The mentoring as he looks over his shoulder.
Yes.
Yes. Hey, let me look at that playbook. Now, look, it's like the blown up in the NFL doesn't have to be a long-term thing. I mean, it going from terrible to like in the fringe of the playoff, right, that happens in 1 year all the time. All the time. So it's just a matter of having a plan, whoever that would be, and then executing the plan. We talked earlier in the show. We're going to talk more about it. There's two choices. There's two paths, and one of them is to try to be as good as you can be next year with Henry and Tannehill and Landry coming back, and you sign Simmons, and you know, if you can figure out the offensive line and another receiver, you might actually be pretty good. The other plan is Malik Willis, here's your team for a season. Good luck, but if you lose, it's okay. If you lose a lot of games, it's okay.
We'll go find another quarterback.
And Drake may have to suck for May, and we'll have to suck for Williams. Caleb Williams are sitting there at the top of the 2024 draft,
although,
and they both might be generational quarterbacks.
As Rob from Clarksville pointed out, you can throw Milton in that list too. Meltdown for Milton.
Oh, my God.
That's my favorite, Meltdown for Milton.
Dude, if Milton – yeah, it's Meltdown.
Meltdown.
Hashtag yeah. Meltdown. Yeah, like God. If he has a year for the Vols and then he's at the top of the draft next year, I'm going to gloat forever at all of you.
Well, a big part of this is what does Amy Adams Strunk want to do, right? Because when she fired John Robinson, she talked about getting better, right? There's a level that they need to get to that's been better than what we've seen. And I guess the question is, well, that's fine. I think we would all agree with that. How do you go about getting there? Is there a path with the group that you have right now to get there, or is it going to require you going in the tank, for lack of a better term, and restarting this whole process over, seeing if you could find a franchise quarterback, and then rolling from there? I mean, honestly, I kind of feel like that's what it would take for them to get to being an actual Super Bowl contender, is to do that. Is that the route that she wants to go? Is that the route that they are willing to entertain? That's a question I have no idea what the answer is, and that she would know the answer, not me.
Right, and it's also like, who are you hiring? What's the plan? Are you just trusting them with the, you know, it's what's Vrabel think? There are a lot of questions to answer on that one. You know, Florida Titan brings up a good point on the more short-term discussion here, but it's a good point. Tannehill's ankle. Are we sure that's not going to be blown up and swollen? And, God, Tannehill – what if Tannehill misses both Texans games? If you're a quarterback in a season and I know he threw four picks against them last year, so maybe it's better for him. But, I mean, seriously, if you get to miss that defense, you have to miss that defense twice in one season.
Well, let me tell you.
Poor man.
If he misses the game, Derrick Henry's going to run the ball about 48 times on Saturday. In that weather, just keep handing him the ball.
He better.
I mean, are we sure Mr. Downey feels the same way you do?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. I think
Robbie should be OC for that game, for that game plan.
Turn around, hand the ball off to Derrick Henry. He's averaging about 250.
I think we might see some Chickaconquo passes to Jeff Swaim. I don't know.
Maybe so. But in all seriousness, I mean, he played through it yesterday, but he was talking about after the game, he's in a pretty severe amount of pain after that ankle injury popped back up. I mean, I'd be interested to see what he looks like on the injury report this week and what his status is, because – look, they need him. I know it's the Texans, and they've already beaten them once without him this year. They need Ryan Tannehill to be a quarterback on Saturday. Like, you got to find a way to win a game.
And like I said, this offense is not good enough for really any of their playmakers to be out, much less the quarterback.
No. And Burke should be back. Yeah, I will say, Willis. Well, I thought Willis threw the ball
okay.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went out there, threw the ball with some conviction on the short passes, but decisive, zip on the pass. So maybe we'll see more of that Saturday.
Maybe we will. 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on the Titans and the Chargers coming up next. We'll also continue the discussion on what exactly the plan should be for both the Titans and the Predators, two teams that are becoming pretty difficult to watch with recent play as of late. More on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Check out the Eddie George Show featuring Jonathan Hutton on 102.5, 106.3 The Game tomorrow at 6 o'clock, live from 6th and Peabody. The Eddie George Show brought to you by Low T Centers and Xander Insurance. Xander gives you more options. More options means more savings for you. Get your free quote at XanderInsurance.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are discussing the path, the direction for both the Tennessee Titans and the Nashville Predators. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Chris from Atlanta. Chris, thanks for calling in.
What's up, fellas? Good morning. I just want to get your thoughts and opinions on this. I wonder if it wouldn't be a bad idea for the Titans to lose the remaining three games, because if you think about it, we're sort of stuck in this no man's land of we're not going to be able to catch the Chiefs, the Bills, or the Bengals for the top three seeds. But also you have a Jacksonville Jaguars team that's almost, not quite, but almost similar to the Cincinnati Bengals team from last year, where they kind of came out of nowhere, made the playoffs, made a run, and all that. And they have an easier schedule with the Jets, the Texans, and us remaining on the schedule. I just wonder if it wouldn't be a bad idea, with as many injuries as we have, as many problems as we have, you know, with this team, if it wouldn't just be a bad idea to say, all right, let's tank, move up and try to get a better draft position, because typically the past few years we've been the low or the pretty much the high round or the low round of the first round, or like 15, 16. I wonder if it'd be a bad idea just to go ahead and lose, move up draft position, and kind of focus on next year.
Thanks for calling, Chris.
Hit the reset button.
Do we forget that, like, these are human beings?
Well, also, you've already won 7 games. So, like, if you're – there's no benefit to tanking now.
Yeah. Great. You get a couple higher picks. If this was like a video game, then you'd be like, hey, lose. Who's making the call? Does Amy want him to lose? Does Vrabel want him to lose? Does the personnel department remaining want them to lose? Any of those players in the locker room be like, yeah, let's lose, guys. I mean, what are we talking about here? I love you, Chris, but what are we talking about here?
Yeah, like they're not going to – again, even if that was your thought process, you've already won 7 games. Like the tanking part is over.
You would then finish
7-10. And look, they very well may finish 7-10.
They might.
That very well could happen. But, I mean, you're not getting a great draft pick at 7-10.
No, you've already screwed that up. If that's what you want to do. So, I mean.
Now, for next year, that's a different conversation. But
right. But even in that case, again, like players in this league don't tank.
Exactly.
Players do not tank. They will not tank. It's why the Texans are still out there playing their guts out to try to beat the Chiefs. They don't give a crap about what the team's draft pick is going to be.
Exactly.
They're trying to stay in the league. I mean, the thing is, if the Titans do lose 3 in a row here, then someone will think they tanked. They will not have tanked because no one would do that. It makes no sense. It doesn't help you. It really doesn't help you. Great. Oh, you got 3 higher. Okay, you're in the middle of the draft.
Right.
You're in the middle of the draft. Doesn't matter. It'll be like the Vols. The Vols were mad about Jeremy Banks, and so they decided to play no coverage of receivers defense. Like, come on.
Yeah, like the tanking for this year doesn't make any sense. I mean, That question is more for like Amy Adams Strunk, Mike Vrabel, whoever the next general manager ends up being. What do you think your best path to competing for a Super Bowl ultimately is?
Is it sticking with it and giving it another go with Tannehill, and you hope you can find a couple of offensive linemen in the offseason, be that in the draft, free agency, or a combination of the two? You need to add another wide receiver. There's no question about that as they look ahead, maybe a couple other wide receivers. But that's the question. Like, do you feel like this team is still good enough with the pieces that it has, where if you add a couple of things to it, you can get right back to being a contender in the AFC? If you feel that way, then that's the way they'll probably try to go this offseason. If you don't, does it make more sense to just go ahead and tear it down?
Again, this is where, and by the way, that shaming of Chris, it felt a lot like that Monday. We're like, John Robinson on the hot seat? Oh, you people. Would you please live in the real world? But anyway, that tank strategy, there is a built-in element, which is you did draft Malik Willis in the third round to try to see what you have there, and so you could give him next season. And you may be better than you want to be if you are trying to tank, and if that's the case, well, good, worth a shot. But at least that's a way to, quote-unquote, tank without – again, you can't ask these people to not try to – the coaches are going to try to win every week. They're all trying to keep their jobs. The players are going to try to win every week. They're all trying to keep their jobs. So the only tanking that can be done is by putting the chess pieces in a certain way that would create a bad team.
Yeah. Now, Wes in Clarksville says, the best thing they can do is try and win and go to the playoffs. This is probably their last chance at the playoffs. I can see a big rebuild coming.
That's where my mind is.
Well, I agree with that now. Like, do I think that ultimately that's going to matter and this team can do anything in playoff? No, I don't. But certainly that should be the approach. Like, right now, you've already won 7 games. Go win the division, get to the playoffs, and then see what happens. You, me, pretty much everybody listening to this conversation right now, we all think we know what's going to happen once they get to the playoffs. But go out there and give it a shot, and then you can make decisions in the aftermath of that, however you feel like you need to make decisions if you're the organization. But right now, I mean, the focus should be find a way to win this division and get to the playoffs, hope it's the home playoff game, and go from there.
Yeah, get 3 straight division titles. Get to the playoffs. Give it a shot. I don't think this team would be hopeless at all if Baltimore comes in here, which I think is what's going to happen. I think it's going to be Baltimore coming in here. Get excited. Hey, I can promise you one thing. You bet if there's a bet on TV placement, bet all your money on the Titans-Ravens being the early game of Saturday wild card weekend.
It could be. It could be Baltimore, I will say. The Chargers team keeps winning. Could be them.
Could the Chargers
depends
could
sneak on a lot of it's going to depend on like Lamar Jackson's health. Can he get back in there and can they win some games over the next stretch here? But I mean,
that's true. That's true. They could
be Chargers.
Really, what is his situation timeline wise?
I don't know.
I think remember it was chance. Pretty vague at first. Yeah, it was like 1 to 4 weeks or something.
Yeah, that's true. I guess they could. That matchup to me is. I mean, it's a rock fight, but. Titans have defended them well.
Well, let's put it this way. Right now, if you found a way to hang on and win the division, right now the 4-5 would be you and Baltimore. I would much rather take my chances right now with the Titans and the Ravens than I would if I'm looking at the matchups between the Titans and the Chargers, even though I know it was a close game yesterday, and the Titans and the Dolphins with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill running around out there.
Yeah, they looked okay in cold weather.
Yeah, they did.
They lost the game, but... Actually, Tua didn't get enough help. Maybe Tyreek Hill suffered in the weather. He had a couple of huge drops in that game. But, yeah, they looked all right. Yeah, I wouldn't want to mess with – I agree. Both of those teams can throw it all over the yard.
So, I mean, the opportunity, it's still there. It's tough to talk about it. I get it. You know, so many things could happen right now if you're the Titans. Like, you could – I could see Joe anywhere from them – winning the division and beating the Ravens in the first round of the playoffs. I could see that happening with this team, and I could also see them losing out from here on and not make it to the playoffs. Like, I think every bit of that is on the possibility and everything in between with the Titans. Now, much beyond beating the Ravens in the first round, I don't know if I can see that with this Titans group as currently constructed.
Now you're getting into Michelle K territory with predictions.
Yeah, I mean, win a couple. Win a couple playoff games. Get that title.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
We will not let you forget.
Maybe so. But
when it happens, I'll be the smartest person ever.
Yeah,
you will.
Yeah. Hey, the second one's that's tough to see. I'm with you, though. The win a big playoff range. Game. This team could do it.
Wouldn't pick
See,
it.
See, you're kind of on the sunshine side of the spectrum. Just saying. A little bit.
So is the season not over? Robbie?
It looks pretty over.
I disagree.
Offense is tough to watch. Over.
The offense is tough to watch. There's nothing they can do to fix the O-line, but there are other things that can get better.
There are.
They could, possibly.
615-737-1025. We'll continue this discussion coming up next. More of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. But first, Michelle Knezvik has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, we got a little Monday Night Football action tonight, and the line has already gone up since this morning. You got the Rams at Green Bay. The line went from 7, now it's 7.5 point favorite for Green Bay. Listen, I'm taking the Rams plus the 7.5, and it is going to be a cold game tonight, so I also would recommend taking the under on that. And Superbook wants to know if you can make your parlays pop this holiday season. You can win some extra money from Vegas with the weekly parlay bonus from Superbook Sports. If you place a three-team football parlay, Superbook will give you a $10 bonus voucher. It's your holiday bonus, courtesy of Superbook Sports. So I said a three-team football parlay. I already gave you one game tonight, and then let's look at Thursday's matchup. We've talked about this game earlier today. You got the Jacksonville Jaguars and the New York Jets. Zach Wilson was back in for the Jets. Did not look very good over their loss to the Lions yesterday. So give me the Jags plus the one. They are on a roll right now. Another Thursday night matchup we got happening. The Atlanta Falcons and the Ravens. Ravens are favored by 7, but I think it's going to be a closer game than that. So give me the Falcons plus the 7. So rack up the wins, earn some holiday cash by betting parlays with Superbook. Download the Superbook Tennessee app and place your parlays today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. If you're still looking for Christmas gifts, check out Nashville's Best Deals and get half-off gift cards for Old School Pizza, Seafood Sensations, River Queen Voyages, and more. Visit thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and the Predators on 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What should the path be for the Titans and the Predators? We brought this up earlier in the show, Joe. It's tough to watch right now. It is tough to be a pro sports fan in this city with the two teams that are playing. Now, having said that, it is two different situations. While neither one of them are playing well right now, and it's been tough to watch, I mean, the Titans still at least have a chance to win their division and go to the playoffs, and then we'll see from there. And like you've pointed out, it is easier to kind of move things around contractually and change the equation in the NFL than it is in the NHL, where the contracts are guaranteed and it is what it is, and it's harder to move contracts in the NHL. So it's not exactly the same situation. But the fact of the matter is, whether you're watching the Predators or the Titans right now, not very much fun. Not very much fun to watch these two teams in our city right now. And I just wonder for both of them, like, what is the direction going to look like as they move forward here? Like, the Preds are back in action tonight, and they've lost 6 in a row, and they're playing a team that they've had a hard time hanging in there with the last couple of years tonight. Like, if you lose this game and it gets up to 7, and you find yourself 2 weeks from now and you're 10 points out of a playoff spot and there's no sign whatsoever that you're digging your way back in, like, what do you do? Like, we've talked about ownership. I've been going back and forth with Kevin on the text line about Preds ownership.
My goodness, Kevin.
Like, if your ownership, they've displayed their faith in David Poyle. They've been vocal about that. Herb Fritch talked about that over the offseason, and we spent a lot of time discussing what Herb Fritch said. Whether you want to bring the discussion to Hines or Poyle or whoever you want to bring it to, like, at some point, with the results being what they've been, and if they continue to go this way, like, would that not cause you to maybe reevaluate and look at what's going on if you're the Preds ownership group? I don't know what the answer to that is. I'm legitimately asking. Like, I don't know how much their approach is or will change as they move forward based off what it has been to this point, which has essentially been,
In David Poyle, we trust. He makes the hockey decisions, and we let him do his thing. That's what it's been.
Yeah, and it's always these discussions. That, first of all, it's a, you know, you brought it up. We've talked about it some today. The boringness of these teams along with the losing is it's a tough double play right now.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to think, like, when was the last time there was this much combined misery between the two franchises?
I mean, it's been a while.
Probably, like even before the Laviolette resurgence somewhere in there with the Titans.
Probably so.
Kind of pretty bad.
2014. Yeah.
And so, but I also think back to like what Max said earlier. Asked him about when's the last time you saw so much negativity. He was talking about just visiting here before he was even a student at Vanderbilt, right? Went to a game back in the dead time period where they weren't making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
See, that is something everyone has to understand. And this is where we're going back and forth with Kevin. And, you know, again, he just took the quote a little too far with the 10 years. I didn't say that. He did basically, though, say Herb Fritz. Basically said, he knows hockey. We don't know hockey. Go do your job, buddy.
Right.
Which is not what fans want to hear, which I totally understand. But here's the thing, is that the scenario Max was telling us about is what they are absolutely terrified of. And that's where the NHL and NFL are different. And we've talked about that too. The NFL is going to be just fine. The salary cap's going up. The money is flowing. And even if you're not one of the more cash flush owners, and Amy Adams Strunk isn't, you're okay. The NHL, 41 home games. They matter a lot to your bottom line. And for as many people are out here screaming about blow it up, and again, I understand all the frustration. I'm not disagreeing with you. You do have to understand why there's more hesitation. It's not just because like they think David Poyle's a nice guy and he's been here forever. It's also because they are terrified of what the bottom line is going to say.
Yeah. Now, at some point, the rubber meets the road on that.
Yes.
And
no, I agree.
It's either you get the bottom line suffering because you're not making the playoffs, or you get the bottom line suffering because people are tired of showing up and watching a product that they know has no chance to win.
Which we are seeing,
which
I believe.
Which you're getting close to seeing, I think.
We're seeing some.
You're seeing some, for sure. I don't think there's any question about that. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Joel to the program. Joel, thanks for calling in.
Yes, sir. That's what I got to say on the Titans. Now, I'm a Kansas City fan. Always have been, but if he can be their next year's pick, get Hyatt from the Vols with Burks, hopefully Westbrook Akine could be a serviceable third with Derrick Henry, get you some O-line help from free agency, get healthy on defense, and I believe you'll have a very good Tennessee Titans team. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for the call. I mean, that's going to be the discussion they got to have at the end of the year. And, you know, regardless of if it's Jalen Hyatt or somebody else, I mean, there's no question they need more help at wide receiver. They obviously need more help on the offensive line. And, Joe, I would include tackle and guard in that scenario. In both positions, you need help on the offensive line. I mean, we play this game every year of trying to figure out what positions the Titans are going to go with in the draft, and it never works out exactly how we think it's going to go. But, like, right now, identifying needs for this team – I mean, offensive line and wide receiver are certainly near the top of the list. And again, I'm not getting into draft discussions right now with 3 weeks remaining in the regular season, but that is a decision that the next general manager is going to have is basically this question. How close do you think this team is to competing? And if you think it's close, do you just go for it again, or do you have to tear it down and retool? That's going to be the question.
Yep. And again, it is actually much easier. It's much easier in the NFL to pick either path. You know, you're locked into so much more in the NHL, so that's always interesting to compare the two. So I said John Hines is Bill Belichick, is that right? You remember this?
I don't remember this.
Kevin swears I didn't. Did I say that?
Bill Belichick.
No, okay, I actually remember this.
This sounds like a Jared argument.
You were making some sort of parallel,
and I said, like, I'm not saying it's Belichick.
Yeah, you were like,
not I'm saying it's Belichick.
And then you're like, oh, gosh, Jared is going to say this, and then I think he went with it on his show. But I'm not 100% sure, but I remember you saying that. Yes.
So you know what we found out today?
What's
Kevin,
that?
Kevin's a Jared burner.
Oh, yeah. We figured it out.
We got you, Kevin. And Jared.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's I don't know, man. Of these two teams right now, long way to go in this hockey season, too. I just – it's harder for me to see a path, for them to do anything that's significant. Well, but the Titans, I still don't think it's time to give up on this team this year.
Based on what you've seen so far, what is the best case scenario for both teams? What's the best case scenario in your mind that is realistic for the Tennessee Titans this year?
That they both tank and lose every game and fire everybody?
Maybe so.
Best case scenario for them? Well, for the Titans, best case scenario is win the division, win a playoff game. And that's kind of, I mean, that's really been the case all year.
What about the Preds?
Yeah, the Preds' best case scenario. Well, the Preds' best case scenario is, to me, it's like last year. Basically, sneak into the playoffs and get dusted in the first round. That's how what I see right now. Are there, on paper, are there players on this team that would tell you that it could be better than that? Yes, but it's just we've seen so little of it. I have a hard time buying it right now. I don't know. You tell me if I'm crazy.
They haven't won a playoff series since 2018.
There's also that.
They've got a lot. It's not the same group, but some of the core players are the same, and they've retooled the core a little bit around it. They hadn't won a playoff series since 2018. Look, right now, that is the best case scenario, I think, is turning this around in the second half of the season. I mean, look, they put themselves in a position where, barring an incredible run, and I mean an incredible run in the second half of the season, it's going to be an absolute dogfight just to make the playoffs. So unless they just go on an absolute tear in the second half of the season, making the playoffs, it's not impossible, but it's gonna go down to the wire making the playoffs. Right now, it's more likely than not that they won't make the playoffs based on the numbers. So I they're in a really tough spot. They really are. This feels different to me than it's felt in a while. Like, it kind of feels like you can see it crumbling. Like, they've held it together and held it together and held it together where they've at least been competitive, and it felt like it was crumbling a couple of years ago, and they turn it around, and who knows, maybe they do it again. I just, from being around the team and watching them since they've been here since 1998, like, this feels like it's starting to crumble out from underneath them.
Yeah, the 2 years ago is a good example to bring up because they were done.
Oh, yeah.
And they came back. But now, like, it's like they're also like a couple years older from there, too. It's the same guys, and that's what makes it harder and harder. Real quick, Kevin, what I was saying was that Belichick didn't win a lot early in his time as a coach. He didn't have good teams.
Yeah.
That was a comparison.
Yeah.
And so now he said as if he was going to turn around and be the hoodie of hockey, LOL. Kevin, you take some quotes
and run with them, man.
Which makes me even more think that you're Jared.
Just run. Dead sprint with some of these quotes. My goodness.
Jeez. But well, I did pick the Colts to win the division. You're right. I get a lot of things wrong.
You did do that. It's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Preds and Oilers taking place tonight. Preds trying to stop a 6-game losing streak. We'll see if they can do that. We'll have more on the Titans and what their future looks like coming up tomorrow as well. Chase Willie and D-Mace coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.